Our country was founded on principles that come out of the Bible. So our country, unlike any other country, really, our country, even modern Israel is not any longer founded on scriptural principle. They're a secular nation that actually, is not. They didn't return to the Lord. They returned to the land. So they, but of course, many people in the land are of God, are people that search for God, seek God out. Unfortunately, they haven't come yet into their perfection or fullness because they have rejected Jesus, Yeshua, as their HaMashiach, their Messiah. But in any event, though it's postponed, the world waits. So the world can't end until that happens. It's not just that we want it to happen. It's going to happen because God promised. God said, I will make you a holy people. So they're not now. And they do not see in us enough light that they would see, you have the perfection we're seeking. Because we're the salt of the earth and the light of this world. And if you can't see through us, if you only see us instead of the Lord, and of course, they wouldn't be convicted, they wouldn't repent, and they wouldn't return, but they will. They will. And it's our job, it's mine in particular, to get us ready for that day when the Lord will return. But before he returns, the bride, which is made up of Jew and Gentile, the bride will be restored to her glory, to her former glory. I wished I had depicted on this board the bride. I'm going to put her right here. When I go home, I'll put her right there. Because the bride is the only thing that can defeat bad government. Bad government cannot be defeated by good government. So the mystery Babylon government that we are now toying with, which our founders absolutely clearly decided that they would not follow. And as I said, our country is the only one that did this, consciously, knowingly, and in a way that was effective, decided to take advantage of the light and the salt that comes from the true church. And they skipped over Christendom, little cathedral there, and Judaism, especially in its present form, and Muslim, and then all the other yin-yang, Confucianism, Buddhism, Hinduism type of natural religions. So our founders let all the religions be in the country, but they specifically cut off this mystery Babylon type of government where church and state were united. And they didn't do it in the states. They left that up to the states. By 1833, all the states had broken their religious establishments because it's not biblical. And that was a hard one. No nation had ever done that in the history of the world. None. So we were the first to follow God. And I'm going to give you some scriptures. I don't know how far I'll get. But if you want to stay most of the day, I'll get there because I'm ready. But I want to read from the Founding Fathers. And I also want to read out of the scripture. And I literally could take 10 weeks and do this easily to talk about our form of government. We're going to do it in less time. It's going to do it in a short period of time. Because I want you to stir up and realize that we aren't going to sink into socialism or Muslim, jihad or into alien the people coming over our borders or whatever else, whatever people are afraid of today, until it's over, until we've done what we're supposed to do. And so it's not going to happen. At least it won't happen in Texas. It might happen somewhere else, but not going to happen here. Isn't that wild? Now, you say, well, Pastor, that's not in the Bible. That's true. But as long as I'm here, it's okay. I'm not, wherever I'm going to be, that's where it's going to be. So I hope you feel the same way. Because if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, will repent, will turn from their wicked ways, then God says, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. And so God's only looking for his own people. And so I don't even have to worry about the nation. I don't have to worry about that. My only problem is the church. That's the only thing we have to do is get everybody to be as holy as I am. Hello? And that's so easy. I don't know how you're missing it. Margaret, what's wrong with you? How come you can't be as holy as I am? Because it's so simple. It's already done. It's already done. You just don't believe it. You just don't know that Jesus is your righteousness. And he's already up in heaven, very safe, secure. And all you got to do is stop believing that you're able to do anything. If you could just quit laboring, quit working, quit sweating. Because the Lord has already finished everything. Memory on the cross says finished. Something was finished. Whatever was finished was finished. So you need to find out, well, what was it? What did he finish? Now, I know the Holy Spirit isn't finished with his part. The Father finished creation on the seventh day. The Son finished redemption on the third day. And so that was finished when he announced that. Okay, now I'm done with my redemptive work on earth. And after that, the Holy Spirit was given. And now the Holy Spirit's still working on us because we're not getting it yet. We're still laboring, in other words. He's trying to teach us to laugh, to sing, to praise, to rejoice, to worship. Because you're taking everything too seriously. You don't have to defeat Satan. He's already been demolished by Jesus. You don't have to build a good government. You don't have to do it. You don't know how to do it. Just be at the church. If you were just the church, and you don't have to defeat Muslims. You don't have to defeat, you know, Christendom. You don't have to defeat, you know, Judaism or whatever. Don't defeat anything. You've already been given the victory. Amen?
Amen.
I know you don't believe it. You're hearing it. But I'm just getting a concept across to you. It's all been done. Now, don't expect the world to talk like that. That's just us. But we're the ones that need to hear it, not them. We need to hear it because we're the salt and the light. So, it's complete. It's finished. It's something that, here's what the Bible says. We are complete in him. So, if you're complete, that means you're not incomplete. So, if you're complete, you're complete. Now, in him, of course, he's not only the Savior, not only a good example, holy, not only a Savior, merciful, but he's also the Lord who gives and baptizes you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So he's doing it all, and he's phased it out. At any rate, the key to our nation is the church. The key to our nation is the church. I don't believe that the church in Uganda or any place else is going to finish this. I believe it's ours to do. And so I don't believe it's going to happen in China or someplace else. They're all working at it. I mean, we're all working together. But I believe that God is not finished. Now, it could be. It could be that we're, you know, it's over with. We tried it out as a good experiment, and then it flunked. And so now we're going to go on to something else, socialism or communism or Muslimism or, you know, swimming over the Rio Grande or something-ism. But I don't think so. I think, in fact, I'm committed, and you know, God has to defend us. If you once make that commitment, I don't mean agree to what I'm saying, but I mean make the commitment in your own heart, is not do I believe that, I'm going to live that way. I want to live without labor. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm gentle, lowly of heart. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. That's all I'm talking about, that you should enter into that. That's what he said, come to me. He didn't say go to the Father. Interesting. He did not say go to the Father. He said come to me. So apparently in his death and the cross, there was something powerful. Something powerful happened. And he killed off your old man. And he atoned for you. First part of the atonement is his death, the blood that was shed. Second part of the atonement is the gift of the Holy Spirit, where he then, your guilt has been removed, but the guilt of sin is not your only problem. You also have the power of sin to defeat so that others could see you. They can't see that your guilt is covered by the blood. They don't see that. All they see is if the power of sin is broken in your life. Right? Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. You know, it has to be that as he has died for us to make us holy, so let us die to make men free. In other words, they aren't going to be set free just because you believed in Jesus. They're going to be set free when your faith is active in love. And that's what sets them free. As he died to make men holy, with there's a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
So these founders, who were not pastors, although some of them were, but for the most part, they were just men of the world. They were just worldly men, but they, privately they were, I wouldn't say like our kind of Christian, but they feared God, and that's all that's required in government, is that the governor fear God. 2 Samuel 23, verse 3, 2 Samuel 23, verse 3, says, he that rules over men must rule justly. If you're going to rule over men, you have to be just. You can't just rule over them cruelly. You have to be just. Ruling in the fear of God. In other words, remember that he's over you, and you're under him. And however you rule, he's going to call you to account and check it out. If you're a husband, you have to rule your wife under God, in the fear of God. In other words, treat her the way God would treat you. He will not allow anything other than the way he set it up. So he doesn't want you to come up with your own ideas, like Nimrod did when he created Mystery Babylon. So I want to read what Jefferson said, because the British, who were a Christian nation, and they still claim it today, but they were a Christian nation, but they began to be tyrannous. And that's because in the Church of England was a tyrannous church. Tyranny is not just civil, economic, and political. Tyranny is also religious before it's civil. So religious tyranny is the problem. Now listen to what Jefferson wrote then when he was that asked him, you know, you write well. You're a good writer. You think you could write down something like what we're doing here and trying to break away from England and declare our independence? We don't want to be dependent slaves anymore because it's not working out so great. We don't like what they're doing to us economically, politically, socially, and religiously. We don't want the Bishop of England to come over here. We don't want a pope, and we don't want a bishop, and we don't want all that stuff if they're coming over to put us under some monarch or some tyrant. So we're going to get away from that feudal stuff, that medieval thousand years of nonsense stuff. And so the Americans wrote this up. I like what they wrote. It's so simple. Jefferson once was asked, you know, where'd you come up with all those ideas? He said, none of them are my ideas. I just listened to what people were saying. I just wrote down stuff they were saying. It's just really obvious stuff. When in the course of human events. So, you know, that's where they were. They were in the course of human events. It's July 4th, it's today. July 4th, 1776. By the way, that was how many years ago? Does anybody know? No, because you're not paying attention. But you should know how many years ago that was. That was 234 years ago. Which is meaningless, but that's what it is. I mean, that's trivia. That is trivia. 234, I don't know what that means. But still, it's important that that was a couple hundred years ago. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands. So, cut them off. You know, we were tied to the mother country, where there was an umbilical cord from the mother country to the American colonies, 13 of them. So when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary to cut, to dissolve, to break, to extinguish, to, you know, don't have that anymore. It becomes necessary then to explain why we're doing what we're doing. So here's what he said. Which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. So, the laws of nature and nature's God. Nature is not... It's really interesting that Jefferson, whom you couldn't call a Christian like we are, he thought of himself as a Christian, but he kind of changed the meaning of the word. He made it kind of like a moral guy, just kind of, Jesus was a moral guy, just best moral guy I ever saw, that was Jefferson. So he cut out all the supernatural stuff in the Bible and had a little book about this big, you know, but, you know, you can't do it that way. He tried to extricate the Bible from man, but actually it was written by God. So, wrong. And so Jefferson, but still, he's just a natural guy. From a natural point of view, just a reasonable guy who all he had is his reason and had nothing more. He decided it's not unreasonable to believe there's a God and that nature endowed us. That nature, that God of nature did something. So he wrote that the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. Now, nobody would disagree with him in that day. Nobody was thinking there is no such thing as a God, and nobody was thinking there's no such thing as nature. Today, it's quite different. Today, we don't have God or nature. We just think we made ourselves. We just kind of grew up out of a rock somewhere or something and just created ourselves out of whole cloth. That's silly. But the founders were more intelligent than that. They were more, I mean, they don't care if they're Christian. They just simply feared God. Remember what King David said when he was on his deathbed? He who rules over men must rule justly, ruling in the fear of God. Well, here's a Jefferson, and he actually feared God. He didn't love him like we do, but he feared him. And he just felt that what God wanted was be nice to people. I mean, he didn't really do much for God, but he felt the best thing I can do for God is to love my fellow man and love my nation. So he had a little bit of it right. But Jefferson is certainly not what we want to follow. And he totally depended upon us to follow what we follow, which is not what he followed. And he actually dreamed and thought of stuff like the French Revolution idiots. Because they came up with something that didn't work. Produced tyranny and anarchy and terror and Napoleon and, you know, totalitarian government, which we're toying with today. The government's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And if it weren't for us here in Texas, they would have us all enslaved. But we got the guns. And Jesus. You can't just have Jesus. You got to have guns, too. Oh, that's part of good government, by the way, especially a government of the people. Forget states and nations. People come first. So I put the people up here really big. We the people right there. So under God, one nation under God, one state under God, something under God. Here's the people here in the aggregate, that is, in their wholeness. Now, watch how simple this is. We the people, if you're the sovereign, if you're no king, no parliament, nobody else, you're the people, not an elite group of people or something, and not a bunch of judges or anything like that. The whole people are the aggregate sovereign. Then they make all the laws, they set up all the institutions, and they appoint all the officers. So, that's the people's power. So the people have three powers. One, you get to decide what the laws are. You don't have to create them as much as you do have to declare maybe what's already been created by the laws of nature and nature's God, or by the God that revealed himself to Moses, or by whatever. But anyway, that was their deal, and so they came up with the Bill of Rights, the Federal Constitution, and the Declaration of Independence 234 years ago, this day. Now, those three sets of laws, 6, 5, and 4, have three above them. The common law of England, as it was adapted and adopted. They changed some stuff in it. They said, we accept the common law except for the king and other stuff like entail and primogeniture, and we're just knocking all that feudal stuff off. So we accept the common law, which is lex non scripta, meaning it wasn't written down. Of course, it was written down, but they meant it wasn't written down as legislatively enacted laws, like the legislature does. And that's number seven. That's number seven, way down here. Here's the legislature making up statutes and all stuff, but that's all derivative underneath the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and the Declaration. And that's underneath the common law and the natural law up there, number two, and the revealed law, number one. So you have seven levels of law. So if you were a judge, if you were a judge judging, here's the judge right here sitting at his little desk, he has to adjudicate. He has to make a judgment, right and wrong, this and that, true and false. You lied, you told the truth, you're innocent, you're guilty. That's all judges do. They just sit there and they have a little scale, two balances on it. Bad guy, good guy. That's about it. And the good guy gets free and the bad guy gets, some kind of punishment. Up to death, because that's the way governments do it. So we believe in the death penalty because that's one of the things that you do as kings. You have to. That's God's will. It's the wrath of God. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. What's he doing? He's trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. And he has loosed his fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. You see that? That's among men. Did you know that God has given this world unto men, the children of men? Men are to come up and do some stuff. The only problem is, make sure you fear God. Make sure you stay under God. If you're going to rule here, then you got to fear God. And your legislature, which is right here, making all these laws, remember they made these laws right here? Those are called positive laws. But then above that is the common law, the natural law, and the revealed law. So now you have all those six laws above what man does. These three laws are made by men, but they're called organic or fundamental. Those are your fundamental laws, Bill of Rights. You can't violate them. And they don't bind men. They bind government. All those fundamental laws limit the government, not us. Isn't that amazing? But all the laws that are made today by your legislature bind you and make the government bigger. Isn't that funny? So there are no laws at all. Any law that doesn't obey these laws is lawless. It came from this influence over here. So apparently the church today is not paying attention to what's going on. Had they feared God and served God, the nation would be a different nation. So it's the church. We're not such a light as we should have been. We're not that salt sprinkled among mankind to have preserved them from chaos and foolishness, destruction and vanity. So this bad kind of government has actually defeated this good kind of government. Just leave the form of it, but they've changed the substance of it. You remember the presidents, they were going to change things. Yeah, but you don't want a change to go against. You want the change to be in favor of and kick out the against. You hear what I'm saying? So you don't want to introduce socialism into a capitalistic system. You don't want to introduce slavery where all men are forced to take this or do that or pay this or whatever. You want liberty to rule. And so you can't mix it all up. And so we're toying now with foolishness, but it won't last. Did you hear me? So I'm not going to explain why I'd say that. But I'm just telling you, it's not going to last. Not going to last at all. Because that's just to show you how foolish you are, and it's your own fault. You did that. Whatever foolishness is being done today, it's because we were, goofing around. We were, arrogant ourselves, proud ourselves, idolatrous and tyrannous ourselves. So if there's tyranny in the church, there's going to be tyranny in the state, in the nation. So let's read some more of what he said. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which them compel them to the separation. And those, why are you declaring your independence? Well, because we don't want to be connected anymore to your mother country. Mama's not doing good to us anymore. Mama's hurting us now. So that's child abuse. So the Americans didn't want to be child abused. And so they decided, you know, we're under God. We're one nation under God. We're not under Britain anymore, a bunch of colonies, a bunch of dependents, a bunch of wards of the state. We want to self-govern like God set it up. So if you get under God and you become a slave of God, you're actually free of men. To be a slave of God is to be free from men. Isn't that powerful? So the more government you get under, the freer you are from everyone else. Just make sure it's God's government. Now, you have three duties. Number one, your religious duty that all men owe to God. Article 1, 6 of the Texas Constitution, every man has a natural and indefeasible right. You can't defeat it. It's natural. It's God-given. It's inalienable. Every man has a natural and indefeasible right to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience. And those as he wishes. You can't force them. Now, we're talking about adults. You can't force adults to worship God according to the state or according to somebody else's idea. Everybody has a right to worship God as they wish. And so that's your first duty that you owe to God and God alone. You don't owe it to anybody else. You're not going to give an account to the king or to the government. Today, by the way, that's being changed. Today, churches are in fear in this city. Churches are in fear of the IRS. They're in fear of the government. They're in fear that if they step over the line somehow, they're not afraid of God. They're afraid of man. And that's because we've gotten off the track. So today, we've lost that. But anyway, you owe your first duty not to, why should the IRS define who we are? They don't know anything. They're just people anyway. And they're idiots. In fact, they're evil. If they attempt to define a church, I remember once they wrote me a letter and they said, you know, put down such and such. And I wrote them back, said, don't you dare ever tell me what to do or who I am. You know nothing. They wrote back an apology. I still have that letter. Interesting. You see, you have to know who you are. We are a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. So not only did I rebuke him, I told him exactly what he should do. You understand what I'm saying? Don't you dare use that word ever again. Never. He wrote back and said, okay, we're looking into that. And here's, you know, they're. Why? Because they don't have any law. They don't have any law. It's not in the Constitution. There's nothing there. But anyway, that's beside the point. I'm just showing you, if you don't know who you are, then you're no light to the world. You can't defend yourself because you don't know who you are. But if God has given you a duty, that creates a right. Hallelujah. Which then necessitates a liberty, which then assumes that you have a capacity. You can't give a duty to someone who has no capacity. You give a duty to someone who has capacity to obey that duty and then has a right to do what they have a duty to do. And then they have a liberty to do what they have a right to do, which is to do their duty. No, he doesn't give rights. What he gives is duties. When he gives you a duty and says, do this, believe this, whatever. Now I have a right to do exactly what he said because he's the supreme power. He's above. You see how he's divided his kingdom into two parts. That's called divided sovereignty with overlapping jurisdiction. He's divided his sovereignty and mixed us as salt. In the midst of all that. That's why he put his people in the midst of the nations, Israel. And that's why he leaves us in the midst. You're not a monk or a nun that runs off into the hinterlands, some Hindu monk or something, shaving your head, put on an orange saffron gown. No, you are to live in the world. And now it's tougher to not be of the world. Because if you put a monk in the world, he might become of the world. So many people who do well in Sunday school, as soon as they get off to college or, you know, they get out into the real world, they get tempted, especially if they go to SMU or TCU. And they get waylaid, and the billboards are getting them, and television's getting them, and so on. So we didn't raise our kids like that. We told them, warned them about the devil. We don't trust the world. We don't like the world out there, but we'll train you how to live in it without being of it. So that's how I trained him. I trained him with words. I trained him with spankings, which a lot of people wouldn't do. But the Bible said, spare the rod and spoil the child. So I didn't spare it. Didn't spoil them. Now they're happy. They're extremely happy. Do you ever get spankings? Do you get them? It's good. Makes you happy. Because otherwise you might rule on your own. And you have to be under your parents, and they're under God. And if your dad didn't spank you, then God would spank him. You don't get spankings, do you?
I used to.
You used to? But you're now obedient. Amen. It's good. I love it. I love it. I love it. When you grow up, you can be like your sister. Amen. I love it. So, you see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the Bible says that a servant is not taught by mere words. So you can't just teach it by teaching or preaching. You don't change people by teaching and preaching. You declare it, but only the Holy Ghost is able to convict or convince or change. So it isn't just a rational process of human beings. It's something, an operation of the Holy Spirit. But in this world, they don't have that. In this world, they don't have the Holy Spirit. So in this world, they're just taught by spanking sticks and by words plus spanking sticks. That's the rod and the staff. You can't teach them by the staff until you instruct them and train them by the rod. So the rod brings forth a discipline among people. Otherwise, people just dissipate. So you have to have a vision of, I want to grow up to be a Christian. Now, you're going to have to learn obedience through what you suffer. Now, suffering can be the word. In fact, the more, and that's how I taught my kids. The more word you have, the less spankings. So they didn't get more than 10 spankings in their life. But they were major events when I gave it to them. You know, it's a major event. So we're not going to do this on an hourly, daily basis. It's going to be done every once in a while. But it's going to be done in such a way that you'll have fear, not anger. My kids they weren't allowed to get the anger. They would have had it, but I feared them before they got it. I taught them fear. And so you can do it in a lot of ways. But by teaching them the word, because we prayed for them before they even came out of the womb. And then when they came out, you know, we loved them unconditionally for, you know, a year and a half or two or whatever. And then we began to apply the word no. That's a restraint, a restriction, a limiting. And that's the way you treat government. Government should not be, your government right here should not be here are the institutions of government, but here are the actual people of government. They have to be limited. Otherwise, they'll eat up the people's liberties. Here's the people. And in between is the means. This is the end. So this people and this people are not the same. The one is the people in the aggregate, the whole, and the other is the people in their individuation as individuals. So as individuals, we're the reason for the government's existence. The government exists. This is the Setuika Trust. The reason for which this is all set up is to bless this person here and set them free. So you have to be godly and disciplined to be set free, because if you break the law, you're over here. The sword goes against this one. You see, it's pointing in this direction. But the sword isn't pointing in this direction. It protects these people and punishes these. Protect, punish, protect, punish. So the reason that they set up this government of the people, for the people, by the people. Of the people, A. By the people, B, C, and D. For the people, E. Very simple. It's a public trust inside a natural trust. God's natural trust is the foundation of these three duties. I told you the first duty is your religious duty. Your second one is your moral duty to all mankind. And your third duty is your specific duty to your own country. to the nation in which you dwell, the place in which you inhabit or live. You must obey the laws of that, and God holds you accountable for that. Romans, the 13th chapter, of course, is very clear about that. Let every soul, pasa suke, let every soul, pasa means every or all, and psuke is soul, not body, not spirit, but let every soul, you're as an individual soul, right here, not all of us here like this. This is the sovereign. This is the one under the sovereign. But it's not a king. It's not a parliament. It's not some kind of elite, you know, dictator, a group. No. The people are under the law, and the law is under God. It's God's law over people, and the people create their own laws, set up their own institutions, and appoint their own officers. And they divvied them up just like God did. They borrowed the idea from God where you had legislative, Isaiah 32nd chapter, 22nd verse, Isaiah 33:22. The Lord is our lawmaker. The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our king. So they got that idea. Hey, wait, if the Lord has all those inside himself, we better divvy them up so that too much power doesn't go to one person and concentrates it and then becomes a tyrant. So they divvied it up, and then they divvied it some more. They allocated their power under this authority to be executed here. So this is the executive, this is the judicial, and this is the legislative. But they divvying them up institutionally so that they were never to be the same. Now you notice today that's all blurry. Today the president, who's the executive guy, he's actually making executive orders, which is like making law. And then he even judges himself to say, this is what I meant by it. Because, of course, he made it up. So, and then the judges, they also make law. They don't leave it to the legislature to do it. And then the legislature, they just have affairs and stuff. Because they're not paying attention to you, the people. They've forgotten who their sovereign is, the people, under the law, under God. Under the law, under God. Remember I said there are three laws above them, the common law, the natural law, and the revealed law. So my third duty is to render justice to all men in my particular state. I owe it to all men everywhere, but I don't owe justice to the people that live in Samoa, and I don't live there. So I owe, and so that's why Paul says, pasa suke, let every soul be subject to the higher authorities, to the political authorities, whether it's an emperor or a king or a governor or mayor or whatever it is, you have whatever's above you. But remember, God is above them. And the Lord Jesus has been appointed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's coming back someday, to judge the whore, the harlot, and the beast. I should have made a picture here of the seven-headed monster, the beast system, and then put a woman on there with a cup in her hand, a golden cup. It would be a scarlet beast with a woman dressed in scarlet and purple, wearing a crown upon her head, and she'd be the queen of heaven. Now, when Jesus comes back, he'll not only judge her, but he'll judge the beast upon which she rides, which starts with Egypt, then Assyria, then Babylon, then Persia, then Greece, then Rome, then Rome, then Rome. Seven heads. And we're in the last Rome now. We're in the very last Rome, the New World Order. The New World Order is all predicted in the Bible. It's all there. And it's just Rome, which was different than all the other six that preceded it, the other five that preceded it. Remember the book of Revelation says, and there are five, and there is another to come, and so on and so forth. So there's seven altogether. And then there's eight, because the beast itself is one of them. So all of those situations are now, the founders decided, and in Texas also, in the 1820s and 1830s and 1845, when we set up our nation, I mean our state within the nation, we decided here in Texas, well, we don't want to be tyrants either. We don't want to have the Mexican government or the Spanish government or any other government that's going to be a tyranny. Now, if they behave themselves, we'd be happy to stay here. but we're not going to submit to a tyranny. So that's the issue. The issue isn't whether you're separate from somebody. The issue is whether it's a tyranny. You want to be joined to somebody that's not a tyranny. You don't want to be part of somebody that is. So we hold these truths to be self-evident. Listen carefully to them. That all men are created equal. That's the first truth. In other words, there are not kings that are higher in status than the commons or nobles. We hold that all men are created equal. Of course, they're just created. And after you're created, then you begin to divvy it up. We hold that all men are created equal. So everybody's equal, black and white and fat and skinny, dumb and smart and so on. Everybody's equal, created. In other words, God doesn't make somebody a king by birth. Men think of that idea, but not God. God is meritorious. You know, you want to be exalted, you have to have some merit. You have to have wisdom and virtue. And so, how do you get that? Well, anybody could get it. All men are equal. Anybody could be virtuous. Did you know that? Anybody could be virtuous. Anybody could be wise. They just have to get under God. Just let God direct everything. Just believe God. Believe His promises and obey His commands. So God has set up everything for His own pleasure. This is the way He set it up. And He used this form of government, and this is the only form in the world for good government. So I believe in good government. Why? Because we had it. We're losing it right now, but it's not gone yet. It's not gone yet. So the fact that you're losing it is like, wake up. Because it's not for sure that we're going to lose it, and it's not for sure we're going to keep it.
Yeah.
Because it depends on you. It doesn't depend on God. It depends on whether you believe or not. If you had believed God, if you had gotten under Jesus as Lord and Savior, then you would easily overthrow this, and this would take its place. It's exactly what they were doing right here. Exactly. And so now, 234 years later, we're kind of looking back at this to see what it's like. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain, unalienable. It means to lien something means to sell it, to barter it, to exchange it, to do something with it, to dispose of it in some way. You can't barter, sell, gift, give away, be taken, nothing. These are unalienable. Government can't give or take. They're not their creatures. We are God's creatures. And our civil duties are given by God, too. And our moral duties are given by God, too. And our religious duties. So government can never touch those. They belong to the natural law. And they belong to God under the revealed law. And it all belongs to God under His left hand or His right hand. And this is the only one under the right hand. So these religions are out because they're hooked up with this. And so God was eliminating two things, the whore and the beast. Whole book of Revelation is all about what I'm just talking about. The whole book of Revelation, in fact, the whole Bible. But if you don't read the book of Revelation, you won't see that there's only four people in the world. The Lamb and the Bride, the whore and the beast. And you're part of one or the other. You're either part of the Lamb Bride group, and then you're part of the bride. Did you know that you're part of the bride? You're beautiful. Say, I'm beautiful.
I'm beautiful.
Even guys are beautiful. Because it means your righteousness, your fine linen, is the work of Jesus. It's not your work. You're not doing anything. You didn't make yourself beautiful. You didn't even know how to. You wouldn't even want to. You wouldn't even do it if you did. So you don't even know what it is. But it's Jesus. So now there's no mystery. There's no mystery now. I know exactly how to be perfect. I don't have to wait to go to heaven to be perfect. I'm already perfect now, spiritually. And that's being worked out. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He appeareth, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And he who thus hopes in Him purifies himself, as He is pure. So He is the changeless one, and that's how you change, is by beholding Him who doesn't. Changing the way, if you want to get rid of any sin in your life, it's so easy. Just look at Jesus. That's all. Just behold Him. Beholding Him, we are changed. And so it's very easy to change. If you have a problem with anger, you look at Jesus who doesn't. You have a problem with bitterness, look at Jesus who doesn't. You have a problem with jealousy or whatever it is, look at Jesus. He didn't have that problem. And that's your righteousness, because when he went to the Father, and the Holy Spirit, when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, because they believe not in me, and of righteousness, because I go to the Father. And I am your righteousness, and I took it to the Father. So now you're righteous. Now, if you begin to let that process work in you, and you don't have to do anything, you don't even have to, you know, make it happen. It's just, that's it. That's the truth. And so, all that our founders did was to set up a government that would not be perfect. It would just simply allow the perfect to remain right here and leave it alone. Now, you can do three things with a church. You can either dominate the church like the state. That's called Erastianism. You can either put the church under the state, and that's happening today, the IRS and all those mechanisms that they're using today to define you and control you and so on. They can't define me. The IRS will not be allowed to define me. That's what I told them. Do not. Because I'll die for it. You won't. But you're not going to do it. Because God only is the only one that defines me. You don't even know who I am. You know nothing. And so they don't know if I'm a true believer or a false believer. It's none of their business. And our founders didn't give them any power to do it. They have no power under the Constitution. That's why they want to get rid of the Constitution, so they can do things that the Constitution told them not to do, because the Constitution binds the government. It doesn't bind you. The Bill of Rights is your liberty that the government can never touch. The Declaration of Independence, which I'm reading now, is that which gives you all these things as a gift from God. There's nobody here claiming that we gave you these things. We didn't give you any of the rights. We didn't give you any of your capacities or anything else. We didn't even give you your duties. The only thing we can do is what's left over. Government can only take what's left over after you've done your moral duty and your religious duty. And so, we the people get to decide. And most governments are not made by the people. The people just let the king do it, or some elite group, or whatever. Most nations of the world, the people aren't running the place, even if they call it a democracy. It's not. They can call it the socialist republic or whatever. But those are just words. But in our case, we really did it. So now, this is what else he says. Not only are you endowed by your Creator with certain unalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, it doesn't say give you happiness, because that's what's being done today by your government. They're actually giving you happiness. No, no, no. Only the pursuit of it. Because happiness is Jesus. You're not going to get happiness itself. Let's say I get a big house. Yeah, that's not happiness. And certainly the government didn't give you the big house. When government gives you a house, it's going to be equal to everybody else's. Because it has to. It has to be equal. Egalitarian. Well, that's not a government. That's a tyranny. Because now I have to get out of my big house, and you have to get out of your little tent, and we're going to have some kind of little box house, or we're all going to have bicycle trails and so on and so forth. You can't drive anymore. No, it's not a joke, because that's exactly what's happening. And there's not one township, one city, ever, anywhere in America today that isn't doing that. All the municipal laws right now and all the ordinances and everything they're doing is to get you to be equal with everybody else. And therefore, they'll take a bigger and bigger share until you have nothing left. They'll eat up all your private property. Now, only God trusts you. You see, you don't have any liberty if you have no property. I'll say it again. You don't have liberty unless you have property. So you better figure out what your property is. Because if you don't hang on to your property, and by the way, the laws only apply to land. So if you don't have land, you don't really have freedom. I'd have to take some time to explain that, but I'll just state it. You have no land. You're just a landless person. You know, you could be wealthy, but you don't really have a law over you. And that's why we don't have laws anymore. We have the color of law. Color of law. It's not really law. It's just man-made law. If you went to SMU law school, you would learn how to make man-made law. You wouldn't learn about God's eternal law. You wouldn't learn about the natural law. You wouldn't learn about the common law. You might have a course with a few paragraphs on it, because they don't care about it anymore. But these founders did. And our government and our institutions and our documents all refer to this. So today, this hasn't been overthrown. And they'll never overthrow it. You know why? Because they'll cut off their own nose if they do. If they saw the limb that they're standing on, they'll fall. So they'll leave it in place as a form, counting on your ignorance and the fact that you're not serious. They're glad that you're watching TV. They're glad that you're into materialism. And they sponsor that. They sponsor drugs. They sponsor all that stuff. Don't think there's a war on drugs. There's not. There's a war to get more drugs. So when they do a war to stop illegal this and that and so on, they're actually not. That's just a game. When they're going to clean up, it actually won't be. You know, they just do this stuff to fool you, surprise you. Now, is everybody in government corrupt? Of course not. You couldn't have a fully corrupt government or the people would notice. But it's getting so close that some people are noticing. They're getting close. And people are beginning to think, hey, is this our founder thing? Give us our country back. Give us our nation back. Give us our state back. Give us our party back. Give us this and the. Yeah, it's a little bit late, but okay. That's good that you learn. But they're not going to teach about Jesus because they don't even know about Jesus because we did a bad job. Amen? All right, listen to this. And that to secure these rights, these certain unalienable rights, the only reason now, you have them from God, but they're insecure. How are you going to keep them? I have that right. Yeah, you have that right. That doesn't mean anything. Get in this prison. You know, shut up. But I have a right. Well, then let God defend you. Oh, well. So now do you really think God will defend you? When the government comes to the door, you're not going to think God's going to defend you. You're just going to panic and fall apart and do what they say. Because they got clubs and sticks and judges and they got the whole thing set up. Because they've taken over, you see. Because we're no longer this nation, good government, because we're this nation. But that's because we're not true over here. We're hypocrites. If you really believed in God, you wouldn't be afraid of anything. You'd be out converting them and witnessing and, you know, everybody would want to join what you had if you were alive and happy all the time. Rejoice in the Lord always. You know, you'd be always rejoicing. And again, I say rejoice. Woo! And people would be attracted to that because you'd have wisdom and you would have power and you would have favor and you would have God. And the glory of God would shine upon you. Now, you have that, you just don't know it, and that's why you're not doing it, because you don't know who you are and what He is. And what He's done. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. So, here's the governor up here, not people. The governor is here, the sovereign people. That is the governor over all these sub-governors who are nothing but trustees. And here is the governed. But they have to consent to all these laws and all these things. But these things have been taken over now because that thing is ignored because those people don't know who they are. Because God gave all these things, and Jefferson acknowledged it when he wrote these things down. Now, he wasn't the only one that wrote this, but primarily he crafted it and put it together. Benjamin Franklin and some other people were also part of the deal, and they checked it over and checked him for spelling. Now, but he basically drafted it, and over again, he drafted it. Because one of the things he eliminated was slavery. But that got removed. And some other things. So he was trying to set something up that would go in a better direction even. You know, we had to have a civil war to solve that little omission. But they kept postponing it. Well, you know what? God never delays and God never forgets what He originally wanted to have. And He wants to have good government, He'll have it. And I'm part of it. Now, how many here are part of it? You know, that's up to you. If you don't want to fight for it and work for it, and if you think God isn't into good government, you're wrong. God hates oppression. That's why He took His people out of Israel, out of Egypt. He took them out, the first beast. The first beast was over here. I mean, I wish I had that little woman with the seven-headed dragon there. That ancient serpent or dragon, that was the first one was Egypt, then Assyria. And that was God punishing His people to say, hey, people, you notice here you have bad government? Your fault. Your fault. It was Israel's sin that got them into Egypt. Not the bad people grabbing them. The bad people have no control over you. Remember Jesus said of the devil when he came, said, he has nothing on me. The only reason you're taken into slavery is because you are gluttonous. You're greedy. You're lustful. You never did what Jesus said. If you had been people not of this world, then that wouldn't have happened. So you can't have this kind of government. It's only made for a moral and religious people, one and two. You can't have a good three if you don't have one and two. And you can only have this. That's because there's none of this. As soon as you get back to this, then you'll have it again. I wish I could teach you a lot. I was going to read, you know, all the stuff that Jefferson and Madison and, you know, Adams and so on and so forth. Oh, powerful, especially George Washington. Wow. Things he said, too powerful. But, sorry. What time is it?
10:25.
I got to go. I've got to go. All right. Praise God. I've got to go. Well, praise God. Well, we got a little introduction there to it. Now, our form of government that you see right here was declared before it was effected. By the time they declared in 1776, it would be over a decade before they'd actually get it. And then after that, it would have fallen apart a million times if it hadn't been for God. And George Washington, I wish I could have read some of the stuff he said. He said, listen to this. I'll just give you one. He said, the thing that impelled me to the field, why did I become the general? Why did I fight? The thing that impelled me, that compelled me from the inside, was two things, religious and civil liberty. That's why I did it. I did it because I wanted to see religious, that's the first one he puts, and civil liberty. That's why I did all this. I believe that good government was possible. I believe that God was the ruler of the universe. I believe that God could discipline Nebuchadnezzar. I believe that God could take any king at any time and do anything he wanted. I believe that God rules the heavens and that he can do whatever he will. And if he can do whatever he will, then he will. Then he will. It's just you don't believe that. You don't fear God or know him or read his word or meditate night and day on who he is. He's the Lord of the nations. He's the governor of the nations, not just of Israel. He's the governor of the whole universe. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And on and on and on. I have hundreds of scriptures that all declare what they put into effect. They just feared God and said, let's do it. Now, today, we aren't educated anymore. They cut out civics when you and I were kids. Remember when we were kids? They used to have civics, but it was real civics. Today, they have brainwash. So the kids are just brainwashed. No, politically correct brainwash. And so they don't get civics anymore, so they don't know how to do anything but be slaves. You are now taught how to be slaves. When we were kids, we were taught how to be free, self-governing under God, not under some totalitarian state. But you've lost it all in a few generations, and that's why kids say, if you talk to young people today, they know nothing. They're completely ignorant. All they know is their little iPod and, you know, whatever their other stupid clothing they wear and silly talk they talk. Did you know that? It isn't just that they're doing it. They're actually brainwashed into it, and they don't know it.
Yeah.
And their parents are completely goofed up. They were all the Woodstock, you know, generation, you know, making love instead of war and all this stuff. And so we lost it back in the 60s and in the 50s and in the 40s and the 30s and so on. We've lost it for a long time. But thanks be unto God, you can learn it again. You can learn it again. It's all in the Bible. And I've looked at it, I mean, with a close understanding for year after year after year, decades, over decades. I love it because it's part of our responsibility. So I pray today that you'll understand the Declaration of Independence 234 years ago was to tell us that America could be a good government. It could be a real nation. It's the first one the people ever made. The people never made nations before. This is one where they made it instead of some king or some you know, wise person or greater lord or some better. You know, worship your betters. You know, look to your betters. In America, we said there isn't anybody better. There's only God. He's the only benefactor. Jesus said these words. You know that the rulers of this world lord it over the people. In other words, they're tyrants. The rulers of this world are all over here. Even Rome. He's talking in the days of Rome. They're not into justice. They're into a justice that makes it just for them, but not so just for you. So all the rulers of the world, burn now up among you. You shall what? You shall serve one another. So we had a new kind of king. We had a new kind of Lord where the king is down here and he's divvied up. See, this is a king, this is a king, this is a king. But he only the judicial portion. He's only the executive sword portion. He's only the legislative portion. So we divvied that up so that the people were the sovereign. And they were over the king. So instead of the king ruling for the people, you know, in name, but he actually ruled for himself. We decided, no, we'll be the king. We'll be the parliament. We'll be everything. So we took back our rights that were given to us by God. Now, to get those back, you'd have to know the Bible. You'd have to know the Lord. You'd have to not just know about it, but you'd actually have to say, God, I'm committed to being a servant to you and do whatever you tell me to do, religiously, morally, and civilly. And take everything back for you, because God is not interested in just taking a church out of the world and then going home. That's what everybody thinks. Well, he saved me. It's enough. No, no, no. No, you're here for the rest. What kind of love do you have? It's not the love of God. If you forget the world, those communists need us. Those Buddhists and Hindus need us. Those murderers need us. Those witchcraft people, those Satanists, they need us. Those corrupt politicians need us. And so you don't have to so much get involved in the political arena as much as you have to be what you are, a real Christian, insisting upon what God has given you. If he gave you a duty, then you have a right. A duty creates a right. Say it. A duty creates a right. As soon as I have a duty, something that I have to do from God, he's the boss, he's the big guy, you have to do it. Wow. Well, that creates a right in me. If I have to do it, then you don't have a right against me. I have a right to do what he told me to do. And that necessitates a liberty. If I have a right to do it, then I have to have a liberty to do what I have a right to do, which is my duty. And then that means I must have the capacity. So he's honoring me by giving me a duty. Frogs don't have duties. Trees don't have duties. Butterflies don't have duties. You have duties. That's the highest compliment God could give you, is to put a law upon you. That's when self-government begins. And that's why you need a spanking. I hope you get one today that you can get your duty down. I have to do what my mom and dad say because they love me and God loves me. He wants to govern myself and not just do what I want, but do what God says. Does that sound good to you? It would be a blessing. The father that loves his son spanks him, disciplines him, teaches him. Oh, that's a good dad. I don't know, you don't seem to get the joy of that. It's good. It's good to be disciplined. Why? Because that's how much you're loved.